What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti is here. We are taking you into your Wednesday, little by little, across the country. Some baseball games in action. Just take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Mets up 5-4 on the Dodgers in the sixth. Twins up 5-2 on the A's in the sixth. We got the Giants and Padres, 2-0 Giants. Let's look at some other games that happened today. Phillies beat the Blue Jays 8-3. Rockies beat the Marlins 3-2. Wait a minute. Rockies beat the Marlins 3-2. The Rockies won on Monday, and then they won on Tuesday. Oh, my God. The Colorado Rockies have won a series, breaking a streak of 22 consecutive series losses dating back to last year to improve to 11-50. Winning consecutive games for only the second time this year, beating Atlanta April 30th, San Francisco the next day. They go for a series sweep against the Marlins on Wednesday. Wow! The Colorado Rockies, who are terrible, who are on pace to be the most terrible team that there's ever been, have won a series. When we were talking late last night, we're trying to figure out which storyline in Major League Baseball pierces through from the regional pockets, from your little team's bubble, to become a national story. Because some will and some do. I thought at the beginning of the year, the Torpedo Bats were going to, and then everybody was ordering Torpedo Bats, and now you haven't heard the phrase Torpedo Bat. Torpedo Bat had about as long of a shelf life as the phrase Tiger King. No one talks about it anymore. Give the Torpedo Bats a pardon, for goodness sakes. Am I right? But the Rockies, actually don't, but the Rockies have won a series now, and that has been one of the storylines to follow in baseball up to this point. So, taking a look at some things, and this may be a teaching moment for some. This may be a, hey, here's what the hell is going on outside of your team. I've talked about it. Your team plays 6-7 games a night. Okay? A week. You watch your team. You get invested into your team. My team, did you ask? The Brewers? A little bit of a 9-game winning streak. Lost tonight. Oh, well. But they lost to the Reds. TJ Friedl had a game-winning catch over the fence. It was actually really cool, and congratulations there. But what are some of these stories that could emerge from your bubbles into the national conversation? I've got a couple more other than the Rockies. How about Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge is very good. We are on 400 watch with Aaron Judge, although the last week or so, that's been dipping a little bit. He was up to 398. He had three hits on Saturday. Then he had no hits on Sunday, so he's down to 391. And then he did not have a hit tonight, I don't believe. So he is down to 387. But that is something to keep an eye on. Aaron Judge, who's having a great year, one of the home run guys atop the leaderboard, is having a great year. We're on 400 watch with Aaron Judge. What other storylines can we be looking at? Here's one. The Braves. Are the Braves going to figure it out? The Braves started the season 0-7, and they've been trying to claw their way back ever since. And it's been difficult, but it's a long season, so you have the opportunity to do that. They lost tonight to Arizona, 8-3. The Braves currently sit at 27-32. So when you look at just their division, I mean, that is slipping away. They're already 10.5 games back. The Mets have been great. The Phillies have been great. But then even if we're going to look at the wild card, the expanded wild card, you're looking at a team that's 5.5 back. Now, plenty of time to come back, but it's been interesting. A team that had a lot of aspirations and a lot of hopes starting so far back. Now, the Braves did make a change today, and I'm going to blame this on I wasn't awake enough when I first saw this, because the first thing that I saw when I turned on my TV, I believe it was the show with Eric Kratz and AJ Pierzynski. So that show was on TV, and they were talking about Freddy Gonzalez. Okay? Freddy Gonzalez, I saw Freddy, again, I don't think I was awake and I hadn't eaten yet, but I saw Freddy Gonzalez's name in big block letters, and I thought, oh my God, the Braves fired Freddy Gonzalez. I thought, oh my God, things are going so bad for them that they fired their manager. What a crazy change. And then there was something about third base manager on the screen, or third base guy, so I thought, oh my God, they fired their third base coach too. Wow, they're really trying to figure it out. And then I realized that Freddy Gonzalez was actually fired by the Braves in 2016, that Brian Snicker has been the manager for 10 years, and that Freddy Gonzalez is just coming back now to coach third base. But I don't know, guys, if you go around the MLB and try to name every manager, it's tough. Does everybody listening know right now that Kevin Cash is the manager of the Rays? No, you do not. And he's been there for a decade, too. So, again, I'm blaming it on was not awake. But I saw that this morning and was like, oh, what's going on here with the Atlanta Braves? But they're certainly in a world of hurt, and they're trying to figure things out. Other storylines to watch. Carlos, this may be one for you. Are the Cubs secretly, they got to win tonight, are they secretly the best team in the National League?
Why are you trying to bait me with that one word secretly when I've been open about how great the Cubs are? You're the one who has been lower on the rankings, sometimes not even putting them on. I think the Cubs, it's not a secret. What they need is they need an actual third baseman. Maybe Matt Shaw can be that guy. They need another, you know, a couple of arms, whether it's a back-end starter or somebody in the bullpen. The Cubs are legit. And this is a guy that looked at this roster, I'm like, these guys stink. It's going to be like 85 wins all over again. No, they're slugging the hell out of the ball. They are a legit threat. Now, they're not the Dodgers. They're not necessarily the Mets. But I think they're that third team that's there. So they're absolutely one of the best. I can't just say that they're the best with those two teams right there as well.
All right, so back to Robert's question. How much is the coach? How much is Craig Counsell doing for this team? You know how I feel about him.
Yeah, listen, $80 million to do basically what David Ross did. I'm good. If the Brewers want Craig Counsell back, I'll go ahead and happily fly to O'Hare, pick him up at Wrigley, drive him up 90 minutes to you. He's your problem. Not for that kind of money.
Is he not doing well, or is it just much for a manager?
It's not that he's not doing well. I guess he's marginally doing better than David Ross. But what's so special about him that he's the highest paid manager in baseball? Now, listen, it's not my money, but it's very weird how Tom Ricketts operates. He wants to be in the black or in the green, however you want to call it. He says how they're barely breaking even, but he'll overpay for Craig Counsell, who's a good manager, the best manager in baseball? I don't think so. And then he'll kind of skimp out in other places with the roster. Like, Alex Bregman should be a Cub. That would have plugged a lot of holes there. You know, Sandy Alcantara should already be a Cub. What the hell is Miami going to hang on to him for? So, like, his refusal to pay in certain areas but give Craig Counsell $80 million, it vexes the mind sometimes.
All right, so when are they going to re-sign or extend Kyle Tucker?
They should have done that already.
I thought that was the whole point of getting him.
Let's stop with you, because you know what? You're doing what the Cowboys do. You're just pushing that extension block all the way down. You're going to fold. Just pay him. Michael Parsons is laughing because he saw what the deals that Dak and CeeDee got. He's going to get paid. They're just delaying the inevitable. You pay him now before he produces even more to save yourself a couple of bucks. They should extend Kyle Tucker around, and they should actually buy out some of PCA's arbitration years, because that kid is a future MVP. Stop messing around. Lock them both up long term.
Yeah, what happened? They traded for him, and then did he go to the minors a little bit? And then there's like been a lot of expectations or a lot of hope, but now that hope's actually being realized.
Yeah, it's just, I think they realize how good he was, because obviously that's the key piece in order to flip Javi Baez. But I don't know if they thought he was going to be this. And now that you know this is what he's going to be, that's what, I'm not playing games. I'm going to lock him up right now. Get all those arbitration years off of the back. Give him a little sweetener so he doesn't hit free agency until what, 28 or something like that. He'll get another contract, but let's get some medium term security here.
Hitting .281, 15 home runs. That's good for ninth in the National League.
And he's got double in stolen bases as well with home runs. He's like right behind Shohei Ohtani in terms of stealing bags and hitting homers.
Oh, yeah, 21 swipes. I say swipes because it's the cool way to say
that's
it.
That's what the kids are saying.
51 RBI, that's third in the league. So, yeah, he has certainly been a revelation for the Cubs at the age of just 23. So they could be a team to watch, definitely, as we go forward here. Other divisions that have been interesting, and continue to be interesting, are the American League East, where you've got the Yankees atop, but what are the Rays going to be? What are the Blue Jays going to be? I think the Red Sox are kind of underperforming. And, of course, there's really the disaster that has been the Baltimore Orioles, although I believe they're going to win tonight against the Mariners. But they've been a mess. And then the NL West is going to be a good one to watch, too, with those three teams. Arizona's kind of faded back. Remember, they were really, really good also to start the season. But it's the Dodgers with 36 wins, the Padres with 34 wins, and the Giants with 33 wins that are going to make that really competitive. This is where I do wish these teams played each other more. I do. The balanced schedule, there's pros and cons to it. Playing a team 18, 19 times in a season does get tedious. I understand that. But if we're going to have importance of divisions, let's make these teams play it out. Let's make it come down to Dodgers versus Giants versus Padres versus Dodgers. Let's make it come down to that rather than who did the best against the American League Central. That's what I would rather see. But I think we are going the other way than how I want things to be. How about the home run chase in baseball? Could Shohei Ohtani put up some massive numbers? The 60 mark. He's not even in sole possession of first place in home runs. He's got 23 now. So does Cal Raleigh, catcher with the Mariners. Aaron Judge right behind with 21. Kyle Schwarber behind that with 19. And then some other big names. Corbin Carroll, Eugenio Suarez, Taylor Ward. James Wood is somebody to watch in Washington. And as we were talking about before, Pete Crow Armstrong with 15 home runs as well. So that's something to watch. What about the trade deadline? When is that going to start? Are there going to be teams that want to sell off right away? Are there going to be teams that say, we suck, let's start moving now? The Rockies are not going to be buyers. The problem with the Rockies, though, as we talk about how bad they are, is there's not a lot of, like, rebuilding blocks. There's not a lot, oh, we'll trade this guy for this, we'll do this for this. There's not a lot of that. The roster isn't that good to begin with. So there's not a lot of hope for a quick turnaround in Colorado. But you could have the White Sox, the Marlins. You know, the Nationals, I think, are trying to get to the place where they're not sellers. The A's have been kind of a weird story, because they're more competitive than we thought, and they play at a junior varsity field. And then the Pirates, which Paul Skeens had a big night tonight, and I think the Sharks are going to start swimming around there. And Pittsburgh, I think you got to build around that rather than just trade it, but we'll see. Pittsburgh always usually takes the trade option in that. And of course, if we're going to talk about some of these good teams, I hear Detroit screaming. Yes, the Detroit Tigers have had a very good year as well. And they've actually had a good year plus. So they've got 40 wins right now, the most in all of baseball at 40-22. And actually, since we'll go to August 11 of the previous year, the Tigers have the best record in all of baseball. Nobody better than the Tigers if we go back to August 11. Remember, they traded some pieces and then got hot. Able to get Jack Flaherty back. Tigers did lose tonight to the White Sox, 8-1, but that can be forgiven. Long season. Okay. So the Tigers, since August 11 of last year, are 68-33. The Dodgers would be second coming into tonight at 64-37. So there are a lot of interesting things happening in baseball. There's teams that are playing better than we thought, teams that are playing worse than we thought, guys that are on pace to put up some big numbers, trades that are going to start to trickle in here in the coming weeks. Definitely things that will start to pierce through on a national level as we all kind of retreat to our regional sport networks night in and night out. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Caller Fold coming up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Cole or Fold.
Like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah!
Cole or Fold every Tuesdays on the Bart Winkler Show. Infinity Sports Network exclusive. I say Infinity Sports Network because everybody does buy or sell. Just nobody does call or fold, which is buy or sell. But it's not. It's call or fold. And we will
remember
start.
How pumped we were when we came up with this?
I'm still pumped. This is actually one of my favorite opens.
Yeah, I like the swanky little vibe we got going on.
Yeah, it always makes you particularly spend more coin in a casino than you need to. You're not good at this stuff, by the way.
At what?
At gambling, you're terrible.
How do you know that?
Because you talk to me about your losses and I've never heard about your wins.
Yeah, that's right. That's because I'm a gentleman.
No, it's because you don't have many wins. Let's start off with a coach who's not going to have any wins for the Knicks because he's no longer employed by them. At the nine Knicks have decided to move on from their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. He's out. After taking a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, six wins away from a championship, but alas, they figure, hey, this can't be the guy. We have to move on from him. So they'll look otherwise to fill in the hole there. But I have to caution Knicks fans everywhere.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, that actually might have been a drop, now that I realize it. I got to caution Knicks fans everywhere because I've seen this with my team. I am a Bulls fan. We had Tom Thibodeau. And the Bulls have not been anywhere near relevant since he left. I could not tell you the head coaches we had before Billy Donovan and after Tom Thibodeau. It's been some dark years, man. I'm talking about really rough stuff. Have not sniffed the second round of the playoffs. Now, a lot of that's Jerry Reinsdorf, but a lot of that is because Thibodeau was an excellent coach. He just grinds his starters to a pulp. So I'll ask you for our first call or fold here. Call or fold, the Knicks will regret firing Tom Thibodeau.
I'd like to call this one, please.
Call.
So I don't like this trend. And the trend being, so the other example I'm going to give you is Luka. But they traded Luka Doncic because Nico Harrison, GM with the Mavs, as you're well aware by now, saw him go to an NBA Finals and say, you're not good enough to win it. Tom Thibodeau goes to an Eastern Conference Finals, and now the Knicks are saying, you're not good enough to win this. They get one chance to do it. In the past, you get a lot of chances, at least two. And then if you can't do it, okay, we need the next guy to get us over the hump. I feel like we're rushing to that decision being made, almost Minority Report-like. Where it's like, no, we can just tell this is not going to work. You know, we're not going to have to try it again. We're not going to do the other things. We're going to blame the coach right away. And maybe you didn't like how he was utilizing the roster you constructed for him. Maybe you didn't like some of the way. Maybe you thought they got here in spite of Tibbs and not because of him. But if you're going to do this, you better have a better option. And it does not feel to me like they do. So, we don't know. We won't know. But playing this game, yeah, I'll put my chips in a little more. That I think they're going to end up regretting this. Call.
All right, let's get another NBA one in here before we switch gears. The only job that I know that's close to being filled is the Phoenix Suns. Now that the Knicks have opened up, they'll start to get their search. The Phoenix Suns have narrowed down their head coaching search to two finalists. One might be something that the Knicks are going to consider in Johnny Bryant, who is the Cavaliers associate coach, the understudy for Kenny Atkerson. He's been in the Knicks organization. He was in the Jazz for years. Johnny Bryant is the hot young name. And then there's also Jordan Ott, who's the other finalist between the Suns. Now, regardless of which decision that they're going to go with,
they
in terms
might get
of
this, Jordan Ott?
Yeah, Jordan Ott might be the other guy.
Wow.
You seem shocked. The Suns is not exactly the most desirable
Jordan
job
Ott,
right.
Household name Jordan Ott.
Well, those are your two finalists, which kind of leads me to my next point here. Devin Booker has been heavily involved in the coaching process here. But I'm wondering if he is reluctant to, you know, leave Phoenix, you know, whether it's financially or whatever the case may be. He's made it clear he wants to stay with the Suns. Team owner Matt Ishbia has also stated that a Booker trade is never going to happen. However, dude, the West is loaded, and Phoenix really tried to make this work with Devin Booker, KD, and Bradley Beal, or whatever's left of him. Call or fold, Devin Booker should request out of Phoenix.
I would say
not that he's going to get traded, that he should just request it. Maybe that'll help you out a little bit.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So Durant's getting traded.
Yeah, he's cooked.
So he'll get traded, and they want to give him to Houston, but they want like every pick Houston's ever owned, previous, past, and future and present. Bradley Beal is... God.
He's not movable. That's the problem.
Yeah, I guess call.
Call.
I don't know. You got $15, $20 million tied up in Grayson Allen. You got $10 million tied up in Royce O'Neal. There's like no room on this roster. This is a poorly constructed roster. I don't know how they thought this was going to work.
Yeah, they had no bench. They were top heavy. They're so deep into the second apron that I don't... What lateral moves can you make? That's why I thought this would be a layup for call or fold. Devin Booker's... He's got to look around the West, rest of the West. The Thunder aren't going anywhere. The Rockets are on the way up. The Lakers just got Luka. Dude, the Suns might not... They dismissed the play-in tournament. They might not... They might be a lottery team for the next couple years. And they don't control, like, any of their first-round picks until 2032, I think, is the year. He should get the hell out now.
This was a team that made the finals a few years ago and had a 2-0 lead, folks.
Yeah, everyone thought that was over.
Not me.
Not you. You had a chair. You picked your spot, so good for you. Let's go to the NFL here for the next caller fold. I want you to hear from head coach D'Amico Ryans of the Texans. He's asked what C.J. Stroud's health status is, if he had any shoulder surgery.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. That's it for him. Like, his general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Now, everybody thought that CJ Stroud was going to be the truth. His rookie year, he threw over 4,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 picks. He had a QBR of 100.8. Sophomore slump is real, though. He had respectable numbers, but not like his rookie year. 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, much more interceptions at 12, and a QBR of 87. So I want you to call or fold a bounce-back season for C.J. Stroud.
I'll call a bounce-back season. I'll call a good season. I'm a little worried about the injury. I'm worried about all injuries. You know, and they always downplay. They tell you about the injury, then they downplay it. But I don't know. The AFC South, one of these teams needs to be good and, like, be consistently good. And it looked like the Houston Texans were going to be that team, but they're always playing that first game at home and then playing that second game on the road. What are his weapons? They drafted Jaden Higgins, Nico Collins. Jeez.
Nico Collins is a stud.
They got Christian Kirk?
Yeah, they get him off the scrap heap from the Jags. He's not going to cost them a lot of money.
I don't know. I reluctantly call that one. I'm not sure I'm high on Houston.
Yeah, I think Houston is, they're lucky that they're playing in the AFC South because the Colts are going to dig themselves into a Daniel Jones-sized hole. And who knows what the hell the Jags are going to be, but watch the Jags win like 11 games out of nowhere.
They would be the team. I will never trust the Colts again. I don't like what they're doing.
Yeah, and I will never trust Trevor Lawrence again. After I banged on him hard in fantasy, I took him in almost every draft that I had, and he stunk. Trevor Lawrence is Daniel Jones with hair.
You were high on Trevor Lawrence from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, 2 years. Not this past season. Like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I get my dates mixed up. I was all in on Trevor Lawrence. When they fired Urban Meyer, I'm like, yo, you get him a real coach, Doug Peterson, he's going to start to light it up for like 5,000 yards and start slinging it everywhere. Then they started signing all these receivers. I'm like, look at all these weapons that they have. I thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be the truth. This guy is buns. He stinks.
Dude, you know who that makes you like? So lame. Me. Because I was too.
We suck, and that's why nobody listens to us. Let's go to Seattle. I want you to listen to head coach Mike McDonald. He's asked him whether the possibility of Sam Darnold could lose his starting job. Let me remind everybody. Here's how many games that Sam Darnold has played under center for the Seahawks. Nothing. Donuts. Bagels. But he's on Seattle Sports 710, and he's asked on the possibility that Darnold can get a short leash.
Sam's our starting quarterback. We love him. He's doing a tremendous job. I think it's funny that the media is out there for like the first day and all of a sudden they know exactly how good we're going to be and how good all the players are and all the tempos. Like, we don't even put on pads yet. Like, we haven't made one tackle. And it turns out in practice, like, it's a great way to build culture by letting guys know that, like, they can't make mistakes. That's exactly what we're shooting for.
Let me remind everybody that Seattle does have a history of paying for veteran quarterbacks only for their third-round pick to come in and start playing. So call or fold, Jalen Milroe will start 2 games this season.
I'll call that.
Cold.
On circumstances. But Sam Darnold will start the other 15 then. Sam Darnold's the starter here. That's why they acquired him. I don't feel like we should be able to watch these practices. We were, where you got these people taping, like, oh, J.J. McCarthy did this, or Sam Darnold threw a pick here. Like, these are practices. These are first look. These are practices. They're practices. I'm not trying to do the Allen Iverson thing, but it just drives me nuts when we break down training camp video, and this isn't even that. This is practice. We don't know what the hell they're working on. God, it's so stupid. Dumb.
Tell me how you really feel. Last one here. Notably, this should never be any headline here when a 50-plus year wrestler gets released. But 53-year-old favorite R-Truth was released from WWE in one of the more shocking releases in recent history. Colorfold. WWE releasing R-Truth was a terrible decision.
First of all, call to you making the last question call 2 weeks in a row. I like that. WWE has me very concerned because it's one thing to have a product and get sponsors and make money. That's great. In fact, we'll take whoever. But the overabundance of it does get to a point. And it's clear this version of WWE, run by TKO, who also runs UFC, they don't care about anything other than money. Like, it's fine to care about money and it's fine to make money their business. But to cut R-Truth on the same day that you're making a deal with Slim Jim to be the logo in the ring sponsor, which I don't even like that. And then now their logo's on the table so that when they snap a guy through a table, it's they're snapping him through a Slim Jim table, which is clever, but also is too much. And at some point, it's just going to feel so corporate. I don't like that they're on Netflix. It already feels corporate there. Wrestling should be for the fans. And then, you know, make your money without, like, shoving it in our face. And they're not doing that. So I'm worried about the product and this R-Truth. Yes, shocking. Call. Because he's up for anything. He's a fun. It's just so stupid. It's dumb. Any decision where they put the bottom line. But it's the bottom line's not going to be affected. That's the thing. It's like if we got rid of you.
Yeah, if I look like that at 53 years old and you get rid of me, best believe I'm going to Red Hulk on you. And that's Colorfold.
Time to cash out.
He beat me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
All right. I am going to work through my feelings about nepotism when we come back. Because I'm not sure if I'm pro or against it. I might.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be pro. We'll see. Right now, let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. Oh, I am to take these dreams and make them mine.
That's exactly how they sound.
Am I actually making any real words? But they could.
Do the bumpers come back on the podcast feed?
No. So whoever's listening on the podcast feed, they just hear us, you know, mumbling like morons. It's only for a real life, real time experience that people really get to see how dumb we really are.
Because we're singing Creed.
Yes. And the song is Higher, if you want to, like, imagine it in your mind.
No, this is not Higher.
Yes, it is Higher.
And oh yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. I should know that. I did this the last time I did karaoke. I did this song.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
When it was it Higher? It took off with what baseball game? I feel like.
What sporting sore, event? Sore Marlin, sore. Are you thinking of that?
No, no. There was someone kept playing Higher at a sporting event last, and I have the Yankees in mind, but I know it wasn't them.
Oh.
It's going to bother me. I'm going to have to go find it.
All right. Have you ever heard Marlins Will Soar?
I don't know what that is.
Creed or Scott Stapp did a song about the Marlins.
I know two songs from Creed, and Hire's one of them. The other one's My Sacrifice, and both are because of WWE.
I think this is it.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar of the crowd. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Keep hoping and dreaming that you will soar.
Come on, baby.
Sounds like every other Creed song ever made.
Creed rules.
You like Creed, so you're one of the four people?
No, I used to hate Creed.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And then
it was the Rangers, by the way. It was the Rangers when they went on the that World Series run. That's when they were playing Creed's Higher.
I hated Creed, and then I unironically liked them, which turned into me actually liking them. Did you ever hear the mariachi band that the Mets had?
Yes, I did. I did see that one.
Let's make our escape. So let's go there. Ask how we stay.
It's beautiful. And they just have that from the TV broadcast. I've been looking for the long version of that forever.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that. But well, I got no problem with mariachi bands. It's not my timbre. But, you know, I am Puerto Rican. My wife is Mexican. It's not like she's listening to mariachi music all the time either. But beautiful instruments. I would say, though, my own critique, those trumpets got to come in harder than that. Guitar, you know, take a step back.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was very romantic. I thought it came in at a good pace. I will tell you the story of when I last did Higher for karaoke.
Yeah, and I have to understand, why is that your go-to song? We have 3.5 minutes, so why not? Let's just go ahead and get to the
finish. I do have a big nepotism segment plan. Should I push that?
Yeah, push that to 20.
No, we're leading an hour with nepotism.
All right, well, listen, it's not my show. Without you, it's just the show.
Well, I'm gonna take this opportunity to try to work through my feelings how I feel about nepotism.
Sure,
I'm gonna do that on the show. I'm gonna do that coming up.
Lay on my couch.
In a sports way, definitely a sports way, because I've benefited from it. But I also haven't, so we'll get into that. So I go to the Packers-Steelers game in Pittsburgh, and I have a great time. I saw 3 of the 4 quarters of the game because the third quarter I needed a little rest in my seat. So that's all I'm going to say. And then after a nice time of partying, I got to see Renegade. But after a nice time of partying, I went back for a little nappy nap, okay? And then I woke up, and my friends were at a bar, and I met them. and there was a karaoke bar. And I said, I didn't come this far just to come this far. And so then I said, all right, I'm going to do karaoke. So I did Creed Higher. I'd like to, in the past, I've done Mr. Big B with you. I've done that one. You know that one?
No.
Hold on, little girl. Tell him what he's done to you. Wake up. Da, da, da.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know it.
I'm the one who wants to be with you.
Wow, so I thought I knew music. Apparently, I don't.
All right, so I did Higher. And as I'm doing Higher, this girl comes up on the stage. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. She comes up on the stage and she grabs a microphone and now she's doing karaoke with me. And this is my moment. I'm the one being brave here. Karaoke in front of strangers as my friends record it and giggle like friends would. I don't know why they were thinking it was so funny. I am an entertainer. And I'm kind of mad that this girl's up here, but whatever. I guess it was her bachelorette party or something. Her friends are going crazy.
Okay. Before you go any further, pre or post Mrs. Winkler?
This is last year, 2 years ago.
Oh, I don't care anymore. All right, go ahead.
So it finishes, and I get down, and then, like, she gets down. And 30 seconds later, as I'm headed to the bar, and we cross paths, because we went down separate sides of the stage, and we cross paths, and I just say to her, hey, nice job up there. And she goes, get away from me, you creep.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so, just when I thought I was out on this story, I'm way back in. What a jerk.
I'm like, you crashed my set. And she goes, ew. And then they walked away. I was pretty mad.
Oh, you should be. I would have threw her drink at her.
Yeah, I was pretty mad. There I was, giving my heart out to the world. And she just treated me just like scum. I don't know that I've ever felt, coincidentally, lower than that. You know I'm going to receive a paycheck for this work?
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like on purpose. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.